I'm going to call the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee meeting to order. Copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted at the back of the room in the hallway there. With that, quorum call, please.
Greg Monday?
Here.
Caesar?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
Here. We have excused absence for Patrick Leahy. Now moving on to proof of publication. I have an affidavit here.
Proof of adoption of agenda.
Oh, I got ahead. Okay, thank you. Adoption agenda is a motion. Is there a second?
Fred.
Fred, thank you. Roll call, please.
Caesar?
Yeah.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Yes. Now item five is proof of publication, and I still have that affidavit here. Now moving to six is review and recommendation on geographic information services to certify irrigated acres and issue well permits. Paul Woodward.
All right, good evening. The district had requested proposals with costs and has received five of those from different vendors. The responses we got are shown there in the memo, ranging from $33,000, but they didn't provide a cost for annual support, up to about $93,000. The differences in the costs are mainly due to which way they propose to do it. The vendors from GIS Workshop on up propose that they would have their own database structure set up. And this has been common with the way a lot of the other NRDs have done it in the past. What we're kind of seeing is that the available software, kind of the out-of-the-box software, has caught up with some of that technology. And so these other Burns, McDonald, and Langen were able to propose using that instead of doing their own customized version of the database and able to do it for less. So currently we feel that that's probably a good approach. We have free access to Esri software. It's something we feel that after a couple years we would be able to take over complete maintenance of that. We wouldn't keep paying annual support fees for that. So then you get down to comparing the last two, and we felt that after reviewing the proposals that the lowest cost for actually doing the constructing the forms and the open and the database and the web software, that they weren't the lowest bidder because they didn't provide us some annual support. And that was actually was requested in the as some one of the minimum deliverables in the request for proposals. So with that, we do have some additional information on the next line. I guess I might just review quickly the reasons the district is going through this. We do have it both called out in our IMP and our groundwater management plan. Several other districts have gone to this having certified irrigated acres, where basically the landowner is responsible for providing the NRD information about what is already irrigated. And that what that does is form the baseline. So in the past several years, since 2009, we've actually been granting variances in the Platte Elkhorn area for every time somebody new comes in and wants to put in an irrigation well and a pivot. And so we've just been tracking what they've been doing new. But it should be any expansion of irrigation. So if we had a baseline, which is what's already irrigated now, we would be able to definitely tell if they're proposing to, let's say, put on a bigger pivot with a bigger end gun. They would be irrigating more ground. That way it would require a certain approval by the district. So that's really the reason that other NRDs have had that. And it does kind of help us comply in the future with the basin plan that will come out. So if there was ever any transfers among districts between different irrigated acres, we would have ours, you know, mapped accurately as to what we have going on in that area. And then the second part of the project is similar, and that's a web interface for issuing irrigate or issuing well permits. And we just feel this is something we can do more efficiently online. It's not something we do right now. That would be something we would propose to adopt as part of our new groundwater management plan and our new rules and regulations, would be to have people apply for well permits. But when they do, we want to have something that's pretty efficient, because out of the box, they won't be used to doing it in our district. It would be quicker for them to get us the information and hopefully quicker for us to give them a response. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions on the item.
I'd like to get a motion on the floor, and then we'll go into questions and answers.
Motion to adopt staff report.
Is there a second, please?
Second.
We have a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors. Director Thompson.
Thank you. In the RFP, you talked about gathering data on all the irrigated acres and the landowners and such like that. What's to protect that list or that data so it doesn't escape to the public for any other purposes, commercial purposes? Is that protected? There's going to be a clause in that contract that says we're not going to release that data because it's almost proprietary or not?
Yeah, that's probably a good question. We will have the database protected from, you know, outside users coming in. I'd have to look back if other NRDs, if that's private data. I don't know. I mean, well, it's almost like, parcel data is out there available to everybody.
Yeah, but there's no accumulated list of that by irrigator. And if I'm selling irrigation equipment, that'd be a great list to have. And I would not want us to be able to provide that.
Okay.
As part of our contract.
I think that's a good point to make.
We'd have to work with lead counsel to make sure it's not public information.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's
yeah.
public information, you have no choice. You have to provide it. But I guess we need to work with the other NRDs if they somehow protect that as well. I just don't know that.
Okay. Other questions?
Other questions? Do all landowners currently report to NRDs if they're irrigating?
Yeah. All other NRDs basically have a form of certified irrigated acres that they're going through.
I mean, is it voluntary that the owners report this, or is it just know by Google Maps or something, or what?
No, that's kind of why this process of back and forth is working, is to, this will allow them, they'll be submitting a form that they're telling us what their irrigated acres are.
Is it voluntary or mandatory? Or
it is mandatory in the plat basin. Due to the regulations we had, adopted 4 or 5 years ago in our integrated management plan, and also because the legislature specified that the lower Platte Basin, that we only have so many irrigated acres, and so that we only add so much. It relates back to being fully appropriated and in a basin. In the lower Platte Basin, there was agreement that each NRD would only add 2,500 acres of irrigated land in a given year. And so the board adopted regulations saying that.
Is Burt County and Thurston County and Dakota County in the Platte Basin then?
No.
So it would not apply to that portion of the sub-district? Those won't be mandatory.
It only be parts of Sarpy, Douglas, and Washington.
Director Grunemeyer?
No, Director Bradley.
Let's point out. Director Bradley.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This adds a layer of protection, and if you think about the history, at least the way I look at it, you know, not everybody looks at it the same way I do, but you think of Kansas v. Nebraska, and a lot of the irrigation that was practices that was going on in the Republican River Basin or Republican River Valley and so forth. And so it was, you would think maybe the irrigators out of the goodness of their hearts would say, all right, we understand. And they do their best to try to work with people, but it wasn't happening. And they had to, the NRDs back there, if I'm not mistaken, and with the state legislature had to have this mandatory. Now, the portion of our Papua Missouri NRD that's sitting in the Platte River Basin, that would be mandatory. It would be nice to try to ask Bert and Thurston and Dakota and Washington if they would report, you know, if voluntarily, if not. But I was wondering about now if anybody knows in the Bert, Thurston, in the Dakota, those counties, Washington counties, about if there's any of the bioethanol fuel type plants that are there. Because in the Platte River, what was going on is you would get X amount of energy coming in, X amount of energy coming out, and using a lot of the water. So on one hand, the state, and I don't want to get too long-winded here, but on one hand, the state was issuing moratoriums on well drilling in the Republican River Valley. And on the other hand, they're waving in all these people from everywhere to come in and set up shop for these bioethanol-type plants and so forth that really used a lot of water in the equation. So maybe now, if that's the case, you want to think about also adding Dakota, Thurston, Washington, Burke County, and so forth.
Thank you.
With new rules, groundwater would require.
It won't require that they certify the acres up there.
The well permit.
Right. So the certified irrigated acres will be mandatory in the Platte and Elkhorn River Basin. The well permitting side of the thing will be applied throughout the district. So that'll be the same no matter where you go. If you're putting in a well that pumps over 50 gallons a minute, you'll have to get a permit.
Is that for new ones or existing ones?
For all new wells. New wells. And we're trying to map existing ones so we know what their spacing is between wells and stuff like that.
And typically, a residential well doesn't pump anywhere near 50. It's mostly.
Mark, did you want to give a question? Yeah, I've got a couple of questions for you, Paul. It's another layer of mapping, another system. All these counties have mapping of one type or another, probably GIS-based. So we're going to have another one mapping the same area rather than overlaying what already exists. Could you comment on that?
Yeah, we have worked with the counties already to gather what they have available. And so the assessor, in some instances, in Sarpy County, they had a pretty good layer of what's actually irrigated. In Douglas, they would just have a note or an attribute in the table about they think this is irrigated. Washington County basically didn't have anything tied to their GIS parcels about what was irrigated. So we are going to basically provide an improvement to all those by having the landowner work with us on what is irrigated. We will share that information back and forth with the county. So it's not like we're trying to change or to redo what they have or vice versa.
And as part of this, then, are you going to have to track every splitting of farms, changes of ownership? Are we going to have a huge ownership task on us?
I don't think we will have to do that as they continue to irrigate that piece of land. Let's say it was a 80 that was split into 240s. Obviously, then we'd track who owns what. But beyond that, no, we won't be. And that'll still go through the land records side. It won't go directly through us. We'll just keep everything up to date with what the counties have.
And one last question. Who's a typical customer that uses the services of ESRI as it gets into mapping and data management?
The Esri company is probably the biggest GIS software company in the world. So pretty much every level of federal, state, city government has licenses to work with Esri. So it's basically the kind of the main format that data is shared in.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions? Roll call on the motion, please.
Okay.
Yes.
Greg Conley?
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Our second item on the agenda is a recommendation on the Lower Platte Watershed Restoration. It's an aquatic ecosystem restoration comprehensive study. Mark Marlin, please.
Yes. Directors, Mr. Chairman, the information that's in your packets and also on the website describes a joint effort between three NRDs, the Lower Platte South NRD, the Lower Platte North NRD, and the Papio Missouri River NRD, in working together on the Lower Platte River watershed. In 2007, the three entities were successful in getting Congress to approve a Lower Platte River watershed restoration project, and that project was authorized for up to $12 million of planning and construction in the Lower Platte River Basin. And again, we're only talking about the Lower Platte River Basin again, so parts of Washington, Douglas, and Sarpy County in the Lower Platte. And there's a map, maybe just go a little further just to show that. It also then includes, so it's only a part of the Papio, I think go right there, yeah. It's part of the Papio, but let's see if I get... but the Platte River runs right here. Here's the Missouri, and so it runs through here and Fremont up here and Columbus at the end. So here's the Papio, and so part of the just a sliver of the Papio, but it's all of the Lower Platte South NRD, or most of it. They got a little part here that doesn't go into the Platte, and then the Lower Platte North NRD. So this this Watershed Act authorized up to $12 million of projects, but it's never been funded. And the Corps, and that was for the Corps of Engineers project. We have recently been working with the Corps on how there might be a way to get this project started and funded. And they have a new procedure that was implemented in Washington and through the Corps of Engineers, and that is to start on a project. They call it a start, to do a preliminary feasibility study. And through that study, then you determine what projects might spin out of that study. An example of this was back on the Lower Platte, on the Platte River, studies done back in the 90s, the projects that spun out of that were Lake Wanahoo, that the Lower Platte North did, and Western Sarpy Clear Creek that we did on the Platte River flood control levees, and the flood control project in downtown Lincoln, Antelope Valley. So that's kind of what the feasibility study would do, would look at what projects are out there that may meet the objectives of flood risk reduction and watershed ecosystem restoration. In order to get that started, we need to submit a letter of intent, and there's a draft here of that letter right after this, maybe roll forward to that letter, the next page. There we go. And this letter of intent would go to the Corps, and it would basically say that the local sponsors would be the three NRDs, and that we'd agree in that sponsorship to fund the local share of this feasibility study. This new method of the Corps is really saying, and they're trying to get projects started and moving. It's saying that these feasibility studies can cost no more than $3 million. They can take no longer than 3 years to do, and that they won't be no larger than 3 inches thick, which is kind of an interesting thing. But it's their process of saying, we want to move through these, determine whether things are whether some feasible projects out there or not, and we need a local sponsor to be alongside us, like the Corps does almost anything they do. So we're proposing that you sign this local letter of intent to, along with Lower Platte South and Lower Platte North, to ask the Corps for a new start. Our congressional members are in tune with this. They are supportive of this, and have indicated their encouragement to encourage Congress and the Corps and the Office of Management and Budget, the administration, to approve this new start. So it's kind of been greased, and it's a matter of giving this requirement. Now, if we do, as local sponsor, if it were to get a new start, and Congress said, yes, you are approved to move ahead with this feasibility study, it would mean we'd have to pay 25% of the local share. The Corps pays 75%, 25% is non-federal. The three NRDs split that non-federal share, so it'd be $250,000 maximum for each NRD. We don't think it's going to cost $3 million. That's just a guideline. It says $3 million in here just because that's their guideline. We think it'd be less than that, but it would be the potential of up to $250,000. This course doesn't commit you to that. There would have to be a contract later. This doesn't say it's going to happen. Doesn't say you have to carry through with anything. It says this is how the process to get it started, and maybe it might happen. We'd recommend that you approve this letter of intent, and which would, of course, be subject to the Lower Platte North and the Lower Platte South also approving it. Any questions or thoughts?
Thank you, Marlon. The chair would entertain a motion on this item.
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors. Director Thompson.
Marlon, the appropriation by Section 5104 for Congress is $12 million. Where did the $3 million come from? And then I assume, because I don't see it here, that $12 million minus $3 million is $8 million for construction. So somewhere in here, $3 million was pulled out for...
The authorization was in 2007. This new process was adopted in 2014. And so, but you're right, that money would come out of, that money would come out of that $12 million.
And so where did that figure come from?
$3 million?
For a feasibility study.
It's the Corps, like I said, it's their, what they call their feasibility of threes. $3 million maximum, three years.
We just went by the maximum.
3 years, pardon?
The $3 million was a maximum.
Is a maximum, yeah.
Okay.
I would guess it isn't going to be $1 million, but, you know, I can't tell you because I don't really have, the Corps hasn't given us a true cost estimate. We just know it's a maximum of $3 million.
It's their investigation. It's their investigation formula.
Yeah.
What it is.
All right. And there's that. Then I know the language is real simplistic in the 5104. It says that the Secretary may cooperate with and provide assistance to the Lower Platte River Natural Resources District. Now, we have this mechanism in the Lower Platte Corridor Alliance, which is not addressed here. It just says work with the resource district. I assume, and I guess verify, that the three involved in that map are the three on this. There's no others.
That's correct.
And if a study is done in one of the divisions, or Lower Platte South, for example, or Lower Platte North, doesn't want to participate or sign the letter, it's still going to go forward because it's still appropriated. And then at the time of, if the money hits, then it can be resurrected again if they want to participate, or we would not study that particular area.
I don't know the total answer to that. I think we're trying to work together at this point, yeah, and the three NRDs and as the whole Lower Platte Basin. If one were to fall out, our motion would not be successful, and so we couldn't carry it out. We wouldn't.
It's still
but
live,
I'm not
though.
Saying, well, I think that the authorization is still there, the
okay.
$12 million authorization. Right. It's just the new start to get money for that is the question. And I think we may be back to you if one of the other NRDs backed out. I don't know. To say we'd like to just sponsor, maybe Lower Platte South and Papio just want to be sponsors if Lower Platte North didn't want to, something like that. I don't know. There's a possibility that we could, but it'd be another decision by the board.
But it's, since it's been 10 years, it could be another 2-3 years until
longer.
Or longer until get back to an agenda.
Sure,
okay.
And but I think we're trying to get this moving forward. It's authorization. Well, they'd like to deal with it or get rid of them, you know.
How difficult it is, they only usually authorize about 2 or 3 new starts a year,
yeah.
Nationwide.
Okay. Yep.
So there's a lot of priority out there that's still waiting to be obligated.
So it's important to keep it alive. It's on that thin string as
thin string
as it
on.
Is.
Okay. I mean, if you so choose.
But kind of to address your question, too, I think the one reason the Papio might want to look at being its own sponsor in our part of the world of the Lower Platte is because we've got a Southern Sarpy watershed down here that you have joined in with the communities in Sarpy County in the Southern Sarpy that's over the hill outside the Papio, the part that flows to the Platte, in the Southern Sarpy Watershed Partnership. And we're doing some feasibility. We have a consultant on board right now doing some the beginnings of a watershed plan. That's kind of what this would be. But we're funding that all locally. We're not getting one dime of state or federal dollars to help do that. So we have to, the cities and you, the NRD, have to fund all that planning locally. And anything that may come up with for maybe some public works projects to help stabilize those creeks, to help reduce flooding as development occurs there, is all local funding. This is a possible avenue to get 75% federal funding in those to help administer that watershed plan. And, you know, whether it's going to happen, I don't know, but it seems to me that it sounds reasonable to at least take a shot at maybe that happened in getting federal assistance to guide that watershed into good stormwater watershed development.
Well, in the world of DC appropriations, if we don't use the appropriations, there's another state that will gladly take the $12 million. So it's a little bit like a game of poker. You put your chip in and hope you get it. If you fold, you definitely won't get it because somebody else will take it. No question about it.
Thank you. Maron, what's the time frame for the other two NRDs to consider their position on this?
They both have it on their agendas, as I understand, for this month.
Okay.
So this month they will both be acting on this same motion.
And if assuming that the action is favorable, when do you expect the Corps would react to this?
That's a good question. We don't know, but they're in their budgeting cycle now for FY19, and so you know, I think it's timely for getting it into their next budget cycle.
Thank you. Director Bradley.
Director Grunwald was first, and I'm.
I answered it. Three quick questions, Marlon. You said all the congressional reps on board, senators and representatives?
Yes.
Okay. You told me two out of the three things that the Corps does. What's the third one? You said money's 3 million, 3 years, and what?
3 inches thick. 3 inches thick. The porch 3 inches thick, yeah.
And then you also stated that we could be, the range that we could cost here, it looks like if all three of us were participating, all three NRDs, we could have a minimum bill of $75,000, assuming everything, up to $250,000, right? Is that what you're telling me? If we went on our own.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
yep.
Great. Thank you.
Yep. Right. That's right.
Dr. Brad.
Well, thank you. And I'm looking at some of what this says. I think that's part of why I wanted to be on this board and so forth. And I just wonder about, you know, you guys were talking about the Army Corps of Engineers, what's their angle, this or that, and they did lose a lawsuit the way they went through Standing Rock Reservation, and they may, with this Keystone Pipeline, so forth, they may look at to award the money here, just to, you know, it might, you know, I think it's worth going for, even though I'm not on the PPO committee, if I can just lobby the members that are to maybe vote for this.
Any other questions or comments? Director Teaser?
I kind of chuckle, Warren. You talk about the Platte River being the home of piping plover and endangered species, but everything you're talking about, nothing's on the river.
Good observation.
Yeah, it is a good observation.
I think there's, how do I explain this? The Corps explains it. I think that the avenue is open to look at any types of water projects. The Corps has business lines now. They're trying to be like a business rather than a government. And so they have business lines. One of their business lines is flood control and ecosystem restoration. Another one is aquatic ecosystem restoration, period. They have chosen that they think this project fits best for potential funding in that ecosystem restoration category rather than in the one that's flood control and ecosystem. But the local staff here that do the work and perform the studies say, okay, we got to write it this way so that it gets good rankings in Washington. But when it comes down to it, we'll look at the whole gamut of needs. And we'll look at the river and the needs there. We'll look at the watersheds and the needs there. We'll look at flood control. We'll look at stream stabilization. We'll look at habitat restoration. That's what they're telling us. And I think this one email that's attached here says that, basically. There's an email attached from Greg Johnson at the Corps here locally that says those things. You know, that number one, two, and three. This is more, I think, what we're going to expect to see. It says, I think our initial strategy would be to do a watershed study of the Lower Platte tributaries similar to an integrated water resource plan, which would accomplish the following. One, characterize the needs of the basin for flood risk, ecosystem restoration, recreation, resiliency, etc. Develop a shared vision to potentially serve a framework for future land use making decisions. Identify projects that contribute toward realizing the overall vision, and prepare an implementation strategy that prioritizes how to achieve that vision. And so I see there the things we're talking about on a watershed level, as well as the river level.
This little Phragmites is going to cost us, $100,000 this year, and that's $750,000 that we were talking just to do a study could go a long ways in actually doing a viable project to benefit the district. I kind of laugh because this thing's been on the books for 10 years and hasn't been funded. So the Platte River Corridor Alliance has been pushing for it for 10 years, and nothing has gotten done. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to push it, and we're going to get it done. I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. If the Corridor Alliance, God rest in peace, if they can't, if all our guns from the three NRDs in this alliance couldn't get the job done, now suddenly you're saying, to me, it's pie in the sky, and I would rather see monies for studies be used for actual projects that really accomplish something on the Platte River, and that really would benefit the endangered species by cleaning up our river, or getting a graded river again, getting rid of the high sandbars, getting clear sandbars, getting rid of the Phragmites. Purple loosestrife and invasives, would go up, would go a long ways in helping flood control as well as wildlife habitat for endangered species.
I'm not sure those aren't a viable possibility in this in a project.
And the other thing is
get some federal funding to assist.
In a conversation today at Lower Platte North, I had, I'm not seeing them getting on board. I may be wrong, or the individual I spoke to may be wrong, but not very optimistic based off of what we saw on the Lower Platte corridor lines.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Thompson?
Yes.
No.
Yes. That concludes our agenda, I believe, so we are adjourned.
We will call the meeting to order of the SEL subcommittee at 7:06 p.m. The Open Meeting Act posting is on the back and outside, as stated earlier. With that, we move on to quorum call.
Here.
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 Here. Adoption agenda.
So moved. Second.
Roll call.
Aye.
Yes.
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 Yes. Adoption agenda?
You just did that.
I'm sorry. Proof of publication. I have it before me. Moving on to item six, review and recommendation of the FY 2018 budget draft two, John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attached for your review is the draft two of the fiscal year 2018 budget. Some assumptions that were made is a 3.5% estimated increase in our valuations to calculate the tax levy. Final valuations will not be available from the assessor's office until mid-August. Last year, we saw a 3.8% increase. $700,000 budgeted for necessary cash reserve, and it is estimated there's $19,210,941 of cash on hand as of June 30th at the end of our last fiscal year. Once again, there are several unknowns besides evaluations, IPA budgets, and various cleanup type of budget items that we're either still working on estimates or finalizing agreements. Dates to remember, we have a public input meeting this Thursday at the board meeting, August 10th, and then the budget hearing and adoption of the fiscal year 2018 budget and set the tax levy is at the September 14th board meeting. I did include a budget fact sheet in your packet at the front, and basically it kind of goes through just the population of the district. It increased to 780,704, so we've got 40% of the state's population in our NRD. The proposed property tax levy of 0.038034 per 100 of assessed valuation, that would equal property value at 100,000 would pay $38.03 a year or $3.17 a month to the district. Property valued at 150,000 would pay $57.51 a year or $4.79 a month. I also did some property tax levy comparisons of other entities, for example, Douglas, Washington County, Omaha, Dakota County, and Omaha schools. And then at the end, there's a percentage of what our property tax is compared to what they bring in. And if you look at Omaha schools, which I thought was interesting, we bring in only about 3% of the revenue they do. So they're at $1.22 per 100. The NRD historically is always 2% or less of the total property tax bill that you receive. Or our constituents receive in the mail. I did break down our total budget requirements for the fiscal years and went back to 2006. And if you see, this is the 12th out of 13 years. The PAPI NRD has either lowered or kept its mill levy, the property tax mill levy, the same. Property tax distribution, 90% of our revenue is generated in Sarpy and Douglas County, and 10% is generated in Burt, Dakota, Thurston, Washington. We are proposing $798,683 in additional tax revenue than last fiscal year. And again, a 3.5% valuation. The overall budget decreased by $1,531,088 from last year. Again, federal state regulations requirements, especially for permitting the 404 and 408, continue to be a drag on everyone's resources, environmental compliance, labor, human resources issues, as well as tracking and reporting numerous mandates, continues to put stress on our manpower. We obviously experienced increased costs for maintenance materials. Last meeting talked about rock prices increasing 36% over the last 6 years. Not only wage pressures, but vendor costs, bid costs, land prices, 15 to 20% increases from what we've experienced in the past. And as as throughout the country, our infrastructure continues to age. We continue to do more maintenance and things like that. This year's budget proposes minimum operation of the district meets our pre-approved or board pre-approved obligations written in contracts, purchase agreements, and interlocal agreements, as well as meets our statutory obligations and the 12 that are posted in the back of the room by the flag, which we are given to, by the legislature to make sure that those are met, those mandates are met. For example, we continue to invest in technology and explore up-to-date process technologies. The modernization of our floodplain mapping is a good example of that effort. As an investment, has game-changing implications for thousands of our constituents and will lead to tens of millions of dollars in savings in capital construction insurance costs. And again, this will be the 12th out of 13th year that there will be no increase suggested in the tax mill levy. There were several changes to the, there's about 10 or 11 changes to the first draft of the budget. Again, it stays pretty much the same. As I discussed during the budget workshop, from the first draft, I would say pre-draft one, we cut roughly 5.4 million to 9 million from the initial request from the project managers to get it to the fact where we're at this particular point. So we went through and we whittled quite a bit down from what was actually the need of the district. You will notice on the front page the revenue and expenses of the draft summary. 0101-00, there was a delinquent tax allowance that used to be allowed. There was recent legislation last legislative session, and that is no longer allowed. So you will see in this proposed budget that $100,000 is no longer accounted for in that particular delinquent allowance category. If you turn to page 3 of 45, state grants and funds, that number was changed. It was updated estimate to actual, so it's $472,206. Page 4 of
45.
Thank you. Three of 45.
Okay.
I got a staple through, or a hole through it, so I couldn't read.
What was the change?
It was just an updated estimate. What? Cash at County Treasurer. Sorry. Oh, yeah, I gave the wrong county. Cash at County Treasurer. So it increased by $20,000. And that was an estimate we had before, and now this is actual. If you go to stay on page 3 of 45, and actually if you go over to the note on page 5 of 45, we added $167,000 to a Papillion Levy Accreditation Study. And this will be an interlocal that will come before the board if the city of Papillion chooses to participate, but it's a 50-50 cost share for them to look at what it would require to them to bring their levees up to certification standards for 100-year flood protection. And that as the that is a direct result of the new hydrology that was conducted by FIRA and going through the FEMA mapping process. So they're trying to determine if, in fact, they can reaccredit those levees throughout the city of Papillion. So that's a cost share with them that wasn't in the first draft. If you go to page, page 11 of 45, account 549, floodplain remapping, there was $150,000 highlighted in the blue. That is a reimbursement from the partnership that was not carried over on the first draft. You go to page 14 of 45, there was contract work that was reduced on the West Branch and the Big Papio. It was $162,000 was removed from that, so it went from $3,105,000 to $2,943,000. If you go to page 15 of 45, 505 Pigeon Creek Watershed. There was a change there. It was a uncollected revenue carried forward, and then prior year unspent needed to be carried forward. So that was just an adjusting in the counting there. We didn't collect the money. We didn't spend it, so now we're going to do that this fiscal year. If you go to page 19 of 45, account 187, Water Quality Programs. That was a 319 Water Quality Management Plan in the City of Omaha. That was carried forward. And then if you go to the contribution and reimbursement cost shares in that same budget category, the 9,050, that was also a carry forward expense. Then if you go to page 25 of 45, the Trails Assistance Program. We removed the City of Omaha Riverfront Trails Trail Phase 4 for $414,374. There's no way they are going to complete that project this fiscal year. So you will probably see that coming up in the next fiscal year. If you go to page, again, stay on that page, 25 of 45, there was changes to the account 261 Papio Trail System. And if you look at the 3120 contribution reimbursement cost shares, those revenue have all been reduced in half, and the reason was the construction in 4410 for that particular trail segment it was over $3 million. It was 3.2, but we can't complete all that work in one fiscal year, so that had to be reduced in half. So obviously the cost shares also had to be reduced in half. And then item 4195, on that same page, 25 of 45, a Highway 75 bridge trail was reduced from $182,000 to $100,000 due to the fact that that amount will not be spent this particular fiscal year. And then the Turner Boulevard Trail, 30th Street to Burt, that is a reimbursement the city will request for that trail segment. They just notified us after we did the first draft, so we had to insert that. So we owe the City of Omaha $90,000 for that particular trail. That is all of the changes. There is some highlights in some of the other sections, but those, again, are just either ending cash on hand adjustments or actual, for example, interest income. That was adjusted when we got final numbers. Is that correct, Terry? Okay, we spent down all the money, so it's gone. So that was adjusted from that. Other than that, all the budget numbers pretty much stay the same from the first draft that you were given in July.
So, let's get a motion on the floor and then we'll have some discussion.
So move. Second.
We have a motion to move the second to approve staff recommendation on the second draft. Is there any comment from the general public? Directors? Director Conley, I saw your hand first.
I'm looking on page one, looking at the bottom line for revenues and expenses. Revenues are down a little over $10 million from last year's budget. But expenses were down $30 million. Yet we only ended up $19 million in carryover. Why doesn't the ending balance more closely approximate the difference? And the second part of my question is, what are the primary things that led to the difference between revenues and expenses?
Was this that again, Tom? Sorry.
What are the primary factors that led to this big difference between revenues and expenses?
Well, as with all of our projects, they're typically multi-year project. So there, we might not have got all the maintenance done we wanted to do, might not got all the projects built we wanted to do in 1 year. And those are all influenced by weather, permitting, all those types of things have that impact. So that is typically the historical difference we've had. We never get all the revenue we anticipate because of our cost shares and all of those types of things. And that's dependent on the progress of projects. And we never expend 100% because we never get to the fact that we're going to complete 100% of all of our projects, all of our maintenance, all that in one fiscal year. We would like to. We may do that one year. You never know. But just by the very nature of what we do, it just never occurs that way. So that's why you see the difference in the expenses and obviously the revenues.
Thank you.
They never match.
I wanted you to say that.
Okay. Any other questions?
Other questions? Director Jeff, I saw it. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 20, contribution reimbursement cost shares to the UNO Community Engagement Center, $5,000. What's that for?
That is a rain garden or a BMP that they applied for a grant from the district.
And then future application, new application, $15,000.
And that we put in, because we will, typically we will get applications throughout the year that after the budget's approved, we may get an application from a school or from another community application that's eligible that we can fund then through the year. And so that we have it available.
Thank you. And that's, I'm glad you answered that. And I had another question, page 5, and maybe I'm just hard-headed, but explain to me, page 5, pollinator habitat, $2,500, and why can't we increase that? What was the reasoning or the rule or regs or what?
That is a program with Pheasants Forever, correct, Terry Schumacher? And that's the maximum I think we can spend, that they can physically do in a year, or that's what they choose to do. And Terry, you have more detail if you want to fill in the blanks, but that's the request that they've made.
Yeah, it's a pilot program, so the Pheasants Forever has capped it at the number of acres. Therefore, that's all the dollars that can be spent.
I see. Now I understand. Okay. So if we lobbied Pheasants Forever and said you need to increase that, but it's a pilot program, so it may grow in the future.
That's the hope.
Okay. All right. My fixed goal has to be.
I do have a question. Now, on the original sheet, John, that you had presented,
yes,
you mentioned the various increases in the expenses.
Right.
One of which is the land prices. This is a 15-20% increase. Is that year over
last year?
Where do you come up with 15%?
Well, we used to see, I think, and it was just a few years ago, we were paying 30. Like, for example, Prairie Queen, I think the top was maybe 38 an acre. Well, we just moved maybe 2 or 3 miles to the east, and now we're paying 58 to 60, low end. And now we're getting, in fact, we just got a purchase agreement, a proposed purchase agreement for WP4 in Gretna, another one of Priority Reservoirs, and you're in the 60s. So, I mean, it just, there was a lull in development from when the plan, I guess, was initiated until the Great Recession was over. And they told us, you don't worry, you have 10, there's 10 years of available lots. So there's just no hurry. 10 years of available lots before those are all taken up. Well, that didn't last 2 years. And so now we're just seeing these escalations every year, they're miles apart. They're not even in entirely separate counties. They could be a few miles or a mile apart, and it went from 35 to 38 to now we're in the high 50s, the 60s, some 70s. So we're just seeing that continually escalate, and so that's why the impetus is to try to get ahead of that. Because we're chasing development, we're chasing these properties, and it's difficult to keep up. And it doesn't look like there's any breath for development. It just continues to march. And this watershed's filling up rapidly. And it used to be 2050. I don't even know if that's accurate anymore. It may be sooner than that. So that's why we keep seeing those bumps in prices. Just from empirical data of what we experience from negotiating. So.
In my neighborhood, Dresser Tap, Blue Water Lake, $250,000 lots. I mean, it's just out of sight. I mean, and so these developers are realizing that, prices are. Is this going to keep going up? Any other comments? Hearing none, roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
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 Yes. That concludes our agenda. We